Now for today, we have some questions, questions and answers for the two courses that we are finishing up. Though I should say that we have not really finished the manuscript, the angels, what I will do, Lord willing, during the summer. And I dictate somebody else does this. And hopefully finish the manuscript in angelology by the end of the summer. You will be given a copy of that completed manuscript on the angels. Today, however, I would like to finish, I believe it's through question 89 that you should have. Then we have some, again, catechism questions and answers on the lay apostolate still left. However, I would like to concentrate today, after having finished these two areas, I would like to have all of you, I mean all of you, submit questions for today's classes. And remember, I asked you to write big, print if possible, and write legibly. My mind is clear. My eyes are not as clear as they used to be. That's the advantage of having both a body and a soul. The soul can think, even though the eyes may be blurred. What we've been doing is concentrating on two areas, the apostolate and angelology. Who remembers what number or question we had finished on the apostolate? Question 80. And remember what we are talking about. In question 80 and beyond, we are analyzing the basic forms now of apostolic training. And my question 80 reads, what are the three basic forms of apostolic training? Do you have that too? And then the answer. They are training for the apostolate of evangelization and sanctification. They go together. Secondly, training for the Christian renewal of the temporal order. And thirdly, training for works of Christian charity and mercy. You might say these are the three main forms of the lay apostolate. First, evangelization, bringing the gospel, or if you wish, Christ's message of salvation to the world. Evangelization is for the mind. Evangelization is to enlighten the human mind with the truth. As I've said so often, our nation, our beloved United States, is starving for the truth. When we speak of poverty-stricken nations. Let's be sure we include the United States. Americans are starving for the truth. And there is nothing, and there is nothing that can nourish the human mind, nothing else except the truth. And yet, the media, our schools, most of our universities, well, I know. Till I came to Detroit, from when I finished my graduate studies in Rome, I've always taught in a university. 40+ years. Well, I know American universities. They are teaching everything from azymes to zygotes. Everything except what is most important for the human mind to know. The truth that God became man to reveal. Now, sanctification, you might say, why put in evangelization and sanctification? Because even after evangelization is the lay apostolate for the mind. So sanctification is the lay apostolate for the will. Sanctification, of course, means, we don't even have an English word for it. You've got to borrow from the Latin. Sanctification. Latin, sanctificare. To make holy. We don't even have an English word, holification. Shows how little the English-speaking world thinks of sanctity. And we're only as holy as our wills are doing the will of God. And as we know, and we're living in the one nation, our country, that is mainly responsible for the thinking of most of the rest of the world. It's a hard statement. Our phenomenal financial and political power is shaping the minds of billions throughout the world. And what is the opposite of sanctification? The opposite is not doing God's will, but doing my will. You ask the average American, what does choice mean? What a silly question. Choice means you choose to do what you want. The opposite of sanctification is self-idolatry. This, in one hyphenated word, is the whole theme of the present Holy Father's encyclical on the splendor of the truth. Everything else is being advertised. Everything else is resplendent. As I think I mentioned in the previous class, our annual average for advertising is $160 billion every year. which is far more than the survival rate of most nations in the world. We spend that just for advertising to get people, as I like the cynical definition of advertising, to get people to buy what they don't need with money they don't have. So that's the first need for training. Secondly, training in the Christian manual of the temple order. Yesterday morning in Washington, I had a short conversation with Bob Dole. He came to meet with Mother Teresa. And of course, have his picture taken with Mother. A smart politician. How we need, dear Lord, how we need those who have the truth to, as we're saying, renew the temple order. What a mild verb, renew. Reform. Re-Christianize. Dare I say, re-rationalize. Because here are those people who are buying, as we know, the legalization, see, of abortion and contraception. See, they're crazy. That is a statement of charity. If they're crazy, they're not responsible. I wish they were crazy. They are not. To restore sanity to the temple order, to the laws of our nation. And thirdly, train lay apostles for works of Christian charity and mercy. All the preaching in the world, all the homilies, are so much wasted effort on those who proclaim the gospel are practicing selfless charity. And you parents, you'll be only as effective in bringing Christ to your children as you practice selfless love of those children you brought physically into the world. It depends on you to bring them also into that heavenly kingdom for which they came into this world. Parents who practice contraception are destroying the moral faith of their children whom they bring into the world. The Lord keeps me until June the 18th this month. I've been ordained 49 years. How much I've learned. Selfless, totally selfless charity by the parents is indispensable for bringing them the truth and have it accepted by those children whom you raised. But notice, it's not just Christian charity. It is also Christian mercy. You might say, what's the difference between Christian charity and Christian mercy? Here's the difference. Christian charity, of course, is meeting people's needs. That's Christian charity. What's Christian mercy? Christian mercy is practicing charity under trial and difficulty. Mercy is difficult charity. Mercy is painful charity. Mercy is unappreciated charity. Mercy is practicing charity to those who not only don't love you, but may hate you. All of this is locked up in that answer to question 80. 81. What is distinctive about training for the apostates of evangelization and sanctification? Answer. Here the laity are to be specially trained to engage in dialogue with others, believers and unbelievers. Oh, dialogue. How many crimes have been committed in your name? This, of course, is authentic Christian dialogue. In other words, you engage in conversation and not just chit-chat. Our last class for this semester, I urge all of you to ask our Lord to enlighten you how you can engage in spiritual conversation with others. Since I wear hearing aids, it's a blessing in many ways. People on the plane, they want to talk. Well, sorry, I'm hard of hearing. How many hours before God be responsible for? Christ tells us we shall be held before God for every single idle word. Hopefully the next time you go to confession, if and be human, I expect you will fail to confess. I wasted time in useless conversation. Plan what you're going to talk about. To make sure I can read it. Great big letters. They don't take notes with you when you engage in conversation. And by the way, it's not a bad idea to have notes when you engage in a telephone conversation. Middle-aged couple I was counseling. And they came to see me. First complaint of the husband. The wife was there. Father, I'm not exaggerating, she will spend an hour and a half on the telephone talking to one person. Give me that charge. And she said, and he will spend 3 hours on a golf course. Then we got down to business. The most important faculty we have for the practice of charity is our lips. I don't hesitate saying, it is more important to know what we are to say than what we are to do for others. When we speak, it is not just body communicating with body. When we speak, it is spirit communicating with spirit. It is soul talking to soul. Training, we are talking about what is distinctive about training for the apostolate, evangelization, sanctification. Engage in dialogue with others. What a cheap word in English. How important. Plan what you're going to say. I had wonderful direction over my years. I did not take my last vows until I was 17 years in the Jesuit order. It was worth it. One of the things I was told by the priests who counseled me, don't just talk. Always, always have something to say. Always. And the best way to ensure you'll have something to say is to write. And that verb is imperative. It's spelled capital W, capital R, capital I, capital T, capital E. Then three exclamation marks. Write. There's no better discipline known in the history of the human race than writing. Discipline for the mind. In Buddhism, over the years I've taught comparative religion, including Buddhism, the Buddhists describe the human mind as a jungle filled with wild animals. I buy that. Does somebody by any chance have the New Testament here? Anybody have the New Testament? Would you open chapter 3 of the letter of James? Somebody have a New Testament? This is, by the way, the difference between teaching Catholics and teaching Protestants. I never asked to ask my Protestant students, anybody have a Bible? They all have a Bible. Could you bring chapter 3, please? Could you bring it over? I'll do my best.
It's pretty small.
About the wild animals. Can you read what it says? Mount. You can tame.
Yes. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and every bird and every serpent and good things of the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison.
Do you hear that? That's God's revealed word. Do you still hear me? I cannot share with you anything more important. Nothing more important than the tame the wild animals in your mind. And I'm speaking for myself. Of course we need God's grace. But on our side, and this is the history of the human race, waiting, disciplines, trains, shall I use the verb, tames the human mind. Write. I don't like to write. So what? One sentence spoken to a person can destroy a lifetime friendship. Do you believe me? Has one sentence, the right one, spoken to a person, can change a person from an enemy of God to a friend of God. The focus of this training should be to bring the message of Christ before the eyes of all people. Of course, the moment you say eyes, you assume something is written. I may change that answer before it's published. Right before the eyes and ears of all people. I think I've shared this with you. In my years of teaching in Protestant seminaries, all the while teaching also my fellow Jesuits, never once, I don't say it was asked to give a course, but even one lecture on Protestantism. Always on the Catholic Church. There's a deep hunger for the truth. And of course, we have access, I use the word carefully, we have access to that truth. Why, we better know it and better understand it. 82. What is the single deepest need for this apostolic training? The lady must carefully study the teachings of the Catholic Church and understand what they believe. They should be specially equipped to cope with the objections and difficulties raised against Catholic doctrine. When I spoke with Mother Teresa, today is Sunday, it was Friday evening, she was beside herself in sorrow. What's happening in South America? Call them whatever you wish. Cultists. Evangelicals. Fundamentalists. I think I've told you Rome's figures are a loss of 1 million Latin American Catholics now every year to the Catholic Church in Latin America. And of course, if we ourselves are going to cope with the widespread, even as you these words, I say to myself, Hardin, why waste your time? And waste the time of those who are supposed to be listening to you. They don't really grasp what you're saying. Our country is being deluged by lies, learned lies, in our universities, dare I say it, in our seminaries, in our media, Now, as I'm sure you've heard, the apostate bishop in France is now using, well, all over the world through computer technology. But we must know that truth ourselves. Now, the time we spend, I hope I'm talking to the wrong audience, the time we spend in reading, may God have mercy on us, the Detroit Daily Papers, or watching television, or listening to the radio. Our minds are being so ravaged by the untruth. All, of course, very nice, very smooth, very clever, nice sounding. Take a single thing like rock music. In Chicago, whenever I taught in Chicago and gave lectures there, I stayed at a rectory with a priest who was a specialist in music, composed music for years, had taught music at the Chicago Seminary. We'd spend hours talking. He would tell me how deeply the United States has been penetrated with the most, and using his words, demonic music. Rock music is in large measure the music from tribal non-Christian culture, the music to the evil deities who in our Christian vocabulary are devils. As he told me, the words of the music are secondary. The most important is the melody. You communicate deep ideas through sound, through the melody. Question 84. How should the laity be trained for the Christian renewal of the temple order? Remember, all that we're drawing on is from the Second Vatican Council, the Unknown Council. This training should span a variety of areas. First, instruction in the true meaning and value of the goods of this world. What is the real value of money? What's the real value of having property? What's the real value of our means of communication? What's the real value of our means of transportation? Hear it. The real value of everything, and the word is everything in this world, is to serve as a means of reaching that eternal life for which we are made. Over the years, when I've talked to audiences, especially unfriendly audiences, I knew what I would say would not be, well, kindly received. I didn't tell the audience this. I looked at a hall full of people. I picture in my imagination the hall filled with dead corpses. I say to myself, who's afraid of a corpse? Every pause, body in that hole will be a corpse. All of us will be corpses. I'm not speaking to corpses. I'm speaking to bodies which are animated by a spirit. I'm speaking through bodies which have ears. I'm speaking to the soul. And over the years, people have walked out of my lectures. Remember, after we had the war, was it Iraq? Was that the war? I was invited by the Catholic Lawyers Association in Lansing, a hall filled with Catholic lawyers, to speak on the morality of the war we had just, quote, won. I spoke for about an hour. After 30 minutes, I didn't count them, but quite a few left where I was speaking. I told them that war was unjust. There had been incalculable damage to our relationship with the Muslim world. Every word I've said then is being verified today. Secondly, experience in the right use of temporal goods and how institutions are organized. If I'm to talk to people about the right use of temporal goods, I cannot drive up and say a Lincoln or a Cadillac. And of course, 96 model. Either the audience I'm speaking to see me practicing poverty, they'll dismiss my words as pious pap. And how institutions are organized. Only God knows, only He knows what value there is to anything that I've been trying to do in my priesthood. But I believe the most important thing that I can do for Christ and His church is to organize. Over the years, God has used this center called Romans 72 to organize the women religious to save what could still be left of the sisters and nuns in our country. And we've saved them. 155 are left. Most of the other 200 will disappear. No chance of surviving. I couldn't be speaking in a better place. Next door a convent, here an empty Catholic school. Now the Holy See, I've been telling you, wants the Lay Association of Catholic Catechists organized. Last Thursday, I sent 15 long letters to the 15 bishops who have agreed to cooperate with the Holy See in restoring some authentic, honest-to-God Catholic education in America. Third, understanding how the common good is to be served in the light of the church's moral and social teaching. Oh, how well we can spell words, and how little we can understand the meaning of what we spell. When we say common goods, over the years, our government has been restricting the use of all land. Farmers have been paid for not growing crops. And most of the world is going to bed hungry every night. I see these words, people hear them, and nothing happens. The common good is to be served, and not just through money, but education. There's not a single thing we should ever learn just for ourselves. Nothing, question mark, nothing, exclamation mark. We should learn only in order to share with others. Finally, concrete and practical knowledge of how to apply the principles of faith in daily life. Practicality. And this, as I've said more than once, I'll be as clear as I can. This is where women are absolutely indispensable for the lay apostolate. And the word is indispensable. I've said this more than once. I usually watch my audience, whether they're either all men or mostly men, or all women or mostly women. It's not everything that men like to hear, women want to hear, and vice versa. Men are the poets. They could not have been a Miss Shakespeare. Men are the philosophers. They could not have been, thank God, a woman. Miss or Mrs. Kant. Or Nietzsche. Or Hegel. Men are the realists. Is that true? Just the opposite. Women are to be the realists. Husband has big ideas. Wife takes them aside. But honey, we don't have the money. You know, money. Oh, the dreams that men can have. The poetry they can write. The volumes of philosophy. And this is where women, I have to say this, need to be trained more than ever before for doing work in the lay apostolate. How should the laity be trained for works of Christian charity and mercy? This training should begin in childhood. And by the way, I could have changed that. This training should begin in infancy. In fact, I could even change it. Remember? This training should begin in pregnancy. In in the womb. Do the mother's thoughts while she's carrying her child, do her emotions, do they affect the child she is carrying? Yes, very deeply. From the earliest years, pardon me, from the